And welcome everybody to this audio, which is a canvas of the out-resurrection of Philippians chapter 3, verse 11. This audio is just a sample of many Bible lessons given as part of our internet ministry. The listener is reminded that this is an audio delivered in a Paltalk chat room. These lessons are quite often of an ad hoc nature, opportunistic, the result of a question or some discussion in the room. Therefore, they are often delivered from memory, and the listener is reminded that the word of truth will be referred to in a general way because the verse is actually posted into the Paltalk room. So rather than quote all of the verse, I may simply refer to one or two specific and important words from the verse. So when you hear a verse referred to, please pause the audio and look at it accurately from your Bible. With these things in mind, we do appeal to the listener to enjoy these audios in the same spirit in which they were given. That is, in an informal and a relaxed spirit. Please don't be too critical about the quality and the diversions and interruptions that take place in such an environment. God bless you as you listen, and we pray that these will inspire you to more deeply study the word of truth, rightly divided. In Mark chapter 9, verse 9 and 10, we've had the transfiguration. And as we went back to Mark chapter 8, verse 31, and we saw about the suffering, and the transfiguration is an anticipation of glory. And the Lord said to the disciples in verse 9 of chapter 9, he said, "Look, tell no one the things that they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead." The Greek being ek nekros. And they kept that saying within themselves, debating with one another what the rising from the dead is. In other words, they kept it among their own company, and they discussed with one another what the rising from the dead is. What I wanted to do was share with you some scriptures from the Old Testament to show that the resurrection of the dead was not an issue for these disciples. They certainly knew about that. Indeed, in Job, I think, which is a wonderful book, by all accounts, one of the oldest book in the Bible. In chapter 19, verse 23, Job says, "Oh, that my words were now written. Oh, that they were engraved in a book," you see. He said, "Oh, that they were cut with an iron pen and led in the rock forever." Job's about to make some incredible proclamation here. And he says, "Look, for I know," verse 25 of Job 19, "that my Redeemer lives." You see? "I know that he lives. And he shall rise on the earth at the last. And even after they corrupt my skin, yet this in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold." You see? "My eyes shall behold, and not a stranger's, though my heart be exhausted in my bosom." You know, is there hope for a tree? Job had asked. Ah, yes, there's hope for a tree. There's hope for Job. They knew of resurrection. We could go to Psalm 16, and while we know that this is certainly a prophetic psalm, it's in the scriptures, "You will not leave my soul in hell. You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption," hell being the grave, Sheol. "You will not allow your Holy One to see corruption." That's a verse about resurrection, of course, relating indeed to our Lord, as found in the Gospel of Peter in Acts chapter 2, and of course, Paul in Acts 13. Here's another psalm, 49 verse 15. This is an interesting psalm. And verse 15 says this: "But God will redeem my soul from the hand of the grave." Here it is here, look. God will redeem my soul from the hand of the grave, for he will take me. So you see, it's not that the disciples didn't know about resurrection. And I know that you know this, but tonight we're just having some confirmatory verses to assure us that the Israelites certainly knew their scriptures in the matter of resurrection. Here's a verse from Psalm 71. You will turn me from the depths of the earth, says the psalmist, 71 verse 20. You will bring me up. Now, of course, we can go to another scripture from Isaiah chapter 25. Now, of course, you do know Isaiah 25 is quoted in 1 Corinthians 15 by the Apostle Paul in that great resurrection chapter. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord Jehovah will wipe away tears from all faces, and he shall take away from all the earth the rebuke of his people, for Jehovah has spoken. Here's a resurrection which is associated with the removal of reproach or rebuke. But again, it is a passage about resurrection, and the disciples knew this. They knew there would be a resurrection of the dead. While we're in Isaiah, chapter 26, 18 to 21 would also be very, very helpful. We have conceived, I'm just picking out sections about resurrection, says verse 18. We gave birth to wind. We have not brought about any salvation in the earth, nor have the people of the world fallen. But in verse 19, your dead ones shall live, says the prophet. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust, for your dew is as the dew of lights, and the earth shall cast out the dead. The earth will cast out the dead, you see. These are plain statements about resurrection. And these are not obscure, difficult, pardon me, for anyone to understand. Now then, from there, we can go to Ezekiel. Of course, the Valley of Dry Bones. Isn't that a great little prophecy? But I'm only picking out a verse or two here. But verse 12. Therefore prophesy to them, because we've got the whole Valley of Dry Bones. You should go read that, Ezekiel 37. Therefore prophesy to and say to them, so says the Lord Jehovah, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and will bring you into the land of Israel. You see, resurrection and regathering is a wonderful theme out of Matthew 24, isn't it? It's a wonderful theme in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The regathering of Israel, of course, in resurrection. Matthew 24, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4. Of course, it's also in the book of Revelation. This great gathering of the children of Israel. Resurrection and regathering. Please don't be those Christians who think that the only ones that are going to get resurrected are the church, which is his body. Oh, no, no. No, there'll be plenty of resurrection for the faithful Israelites. While we're in the Old Testament and bringing it basically quickly to a close, let's go to Daniel chapter 12, verse 1, which I leave you to read for yourselves. But verse 2, at that time when Daniel shall stand up, and Michael will stand up. Michael, that great angel representing or standing for the children of Israel. In verse 2 it says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You know, isn't it consistent? There is resurrection and some to shame. Be diligent, says Paul to Timothy, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be what? Ashamed. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. The Lord says, don't be ashamed to me, to the disciples in Mark chapter 8, in this wicked and crooked generation or adulterous generation. Don't be ashamed, friends, for what we've studied and what we stand for. We're not here So thank you, friends, for and listening thus far. Timothy F., look, where God bless you. Thank you for coming into our room. If you might just pause with us for a little bit, Timothy, we will certainly deal with that. But before I continue this lesson, Timothy, I'm pleading with you, would you please add Range Pro and myself as a pal? I would like to finish the lesson, and certainly we will talk about that at the end of this. Would you be patient enough, Timothy, to wait until I'm done? Because I will certainly I'll talk about that, Timothy. Thank you so much, brother. I appreciate that. And God bless, Timothy, that you are seeing differences. Timothy, God bless you, brother, that you are seeing something different in the mystery of Ephesians and that was hidden, and the mystery in Romans which was only kept silent. Praise God, Timothy. Praise God for you. Now then, I want to keep going, however, so just bear with me. So in Daniel chapter 12, a resurrection, some to shame and some to everlasting contempt, that are going to be raised from the ground. So these, I believe, to be believers. All right, now, and of course, what I would like to have a look at is Martha in John chapter 11, just to show you that the Israelites, the majority of them anyway, they certainly did, I believe, in resurrection. The Lord said to Martha, your brother will rise again. And of course, Martha said, oh yes, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Martha was saying to the Lord, look, I understand about the resurrection of the dead. Now let's go back to Mark. And I'm thanking you again while I click between all these verses, and we're going to post these two. Now, at the transfiguration, which was an anticipation of glory, remember, the Lord said, don't tell them. Don't tell these things to anyone until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. And then, of course, in verse 10, they kept that saying among themselves, but they debated. Oh, that's not verse 10, is it? Let me try and copy this. They debated among themselves what the resurrection from the dead is. Okay. Now, it's this great phrase, ek nekron, or nekros, the resurrection from the dead, not the resurrection of the dead. You see, the Lord said, wait till my resurrection from, out from among the dead, is what the Lord was talking about, not the resurrection of the dead. You see, the disciples had this question. Now then, what I want to do is just pause for a little while and show you that a voice at that transfiguration, there was a voice that came from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. There was a voice at this transfiguration. Now, this, many commentators believe, is a reference from Psalm 2. Now then, I would like to go and just show you Psalm 2 because it is an important psalm and it's relevant to the resurrection from the dead. I really want to make sure I make this point clearly, that the Psalm 2 and the voice from heaven is relevant to the Lord's resurrection, which was not the resurrection of the dead, but from or out of the dead. Let me tell you something, friends. The Lord, we know, was a first fruit. Yes, you know that. There are other people who are in the grave who were saints. I'm not talking about the ones that were resurrected in the Gospels when the Lord died. No, no, no. There are other saints in the grave who are going to live with Christ. You see, there were many. There were many in the graves and who remained in the graves when Christ was resurrected. Those still in the graves, and I'm typing this in,
will live with him.
Okay, there are many in the graves. When the Lord rose, he rose out from not just the dead, he rose from the dead, shall I say, saints who are going to live with him. Do you see that? He rose from the dead. Now, Psalm 2, let me go and find it. So give me a second. And Psalm 2, I want to just show you the verse. Now, most commentators believe it's this verse 7. You are my son, today I have begotten you. What day? What day had God begotten him? Ah, well, it's in resurrection. And of course, this great statement is about glory and honor. Because the next verse goes on to say, the Gentiles for the inheritance. And of course, in verse 6 of that same psalm, the Lord had been set on the holy hill of Zion. And Psalm 2, you see, is a psalm of honor. It's a psalm of honor. A psalm of honor. I've got a few typos in there, haven't I? Now then, I want to show that the transfiguration, an anticipation of glory, is an anticipation of honor as well. You see, the Son was raised out from the dead and was raised in honor and glory. So let's have a little look at a couple of verses, please. Be patient with me as we go to another reference that includes Psalm 2. Now, God, who at many times and in many ways says Hebrews chapter 1, spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, who he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the shining splendor of his glory and the express image of his essence, and upholding all things by the word of his power, through himself cleansing of our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels. You see, it's honor that's coming into this resurrection. This resurrection out from the dead is a resurrection of honor. For to which of the angels did he say? Psalm 2. Here it comes. Psalm 2. You are my son. In resurrection, having been raised and seated at God's right hand, is this statement today in this resurrection and ascension. I have begotten you. Now, in Hebrews chapter 5, in this psalm comes in again. So Christ did not glorify himself. I want us to notice glorification here. Did not glorify himself to be made a high priest, but he who said to him, you are my son, Psalm 2. And most commentators believe that this is my beloved son is a reference indirect to Psalm 2 at the transfiguration. It has to do with an anticipation of honor and glory, you see. Oh, yes, Christ had to be raised for our justification. Yes, 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 I know that. He died for sin and sins. Yes, I know. He was buried. Yes, I know. I'm not talking about the fundamentals tonight. It's Psalm 2. And Psalm 2, Julie, is an ascension seated at God's right hand. It's has to do with honor and glory. And, of course, I meant to quote Hebrews 5 verse 4, where it also speaks about honor. I'm trying to make a connection between the resurrection from the dead. See? From the dead, you see, and honor. And glory. Honor and glory. Now, just for the moment, hold that thought for a second. Now we're going to go back to Philippians chapter 2. You see, we're coming back to Philippians today from a different angle. I'm giving the same lesson that I've been giving for quite some time, but I'm coming back from another angle today. Alrighty? So here we go. Philippians chapter 2. You see, what did he say in Mark chapter 8? I hope we remember at the beginning of the lesson, you know, the Lord said, whoever doesn't take up their cross is not worthy of me. There's worth, there's value, there's honour, friends, in serving the Saviour. No matter how lonely we might be, no matter how much we suffer at the hands of other Christians, and probably we suffer more at their hands than anyone else. Sad to say, isn't it true? You know, no matter how much, there's honour and glory by taking up a cross and enduring. Now let me see, where can I pick it up? In Philippians 2 verse 8, the Lord, of course, as we know earlier on in this chapter, had emptied himself. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He emptied himself. And of course, down here in verse 8, being found in fashion as a man of Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself and became subjective, obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You see, going back over there to Hebrews, he was the author and finisher. Remember in Hebrews 12, it says he is the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, just as Moses despised the riches of Egypt, because he had great consideration, recompense for the reward. See, enduring has a honour, glory and reward in view. So friends, I want you to despise the loneliness. I want each and every one of us not to be depressed when things don't happen, when people don't respond. I want us to despise those feelings and joy in the loneliness and the suffering and the pain and say, I'm going on and I'm enduring, because there's honour and glory in view for us, just as there was honour and glory in view for that blessed Son of God who endured the cross. Now, if Deborah was here, she'd tell me to slow down, so I better do that and come back to chapter 2. Now then, therefore, therefore, God has highly exalted him. You'll tell me John's going to do the job. God has highly exalted him. Now, friends, I hope, I pray to God, you're connecting the dots. You see, the Lord suffering in Mark 8, okay? In Mark 9, anticipation of glory. Anticipation of glory, okay? Now then, let's have a look at the parallel section in Philippians chapter 3, because this is very, very exciting. You know, Paul says this, look, I count all things to be loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He counts things but loss. What do we do? Are we really counting stuff but loss? Come on, people. All things in this context. Go back and look. Paul had popularity. He had power. He had zeal. He had tradition. He had Jewish culture. He counted them but lost. Do you count things as lost? Do I? And sometimes, you know, it's nice to hang on to some things and make ourselves a martyr. That's not counting all things but lost, now is it? Paul counted them but lost. What did he want? He said, I suffer the loss of all things and count them but dung so that I may win Christ. Oh, there's something to be won, you see, and be found in him. Oh, yes. You see, every believer, friends, every believer who's believed into Christ is in him. You know that, don't you? As a Romans, that's a fundamental. Back in Romans, we're not in Adam, we're in Christ. As in Adam, all die, 1 Corinthians 15. So in Christ shall all be made alive. Of course we're in Christ. God made a choice, Paul says in Ephesians, regarding us before the foundation of the world. And God's choice was because we were in Christ. So what's Paul mean? I want to be found in him. Ah, you see, Paul wants a righteousness that is like the faithfulness of Christ. Now, I'm going to have to put this verse in again, because don't confuse this, will you, with justification. Don't confuse this verse with justification by faith, now, will you? Because here, Paul's talking about how he used to be and how he used to walk, what he used to do, and he had a righteousness according to the law. Paul had a righteousness according to the law. It didn't save him. Didn't make him righteous before God, but he had a righteousness. There is a righteousness by works, remember, that follows those who believe. Abraham was made righteous by his works because he was faithful. Abraham was faith active, not faith passive. Paul, that's how Paul wanted to be found in Christ. He wanted to be found in Christ with the same faithfulness. Christ says in Mark 8, take up your cross and follow me. The Lord took up his cross and endured it. And he had a resurrection to honor and glory. And he had a resurrection that was out from the dead. Do you connect the dots, friends? We are not worth serving God for nothing. We are not giving up and counting things for loss because we have a God who doesn't reward us. Hebrews says, we must believe that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What's diligent, friends? Oh, it's to crave. It's to hunger. It's to count loss. It's to go on when your friends are deserting you. It's to get your Bible out and open it up. That's what craving is. That's what diligence is. Don't count all the consequences. Because there's a resurrection out from the dead. And I'm going to suggest to you tonight, friends, something like this. Well, I better read a few more verses. Better use this one. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. You're kidding me. Of course Paul knew Christ. Of course Paul knew about him. He met him on the road to Damascus. Don't tell me he didn't know Christ. Christ had appeared to him numerous times. And don't tell me Paul didn't know about Christ's resurrection. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. He didn't want to know about Christ's resurrection. He wanted to know its power. What was Christ's resurrection that the disciples didn't know about, friends? Oh, it was a resurrection from the dead, you see. Not the resurrection of the dead. It was a resurrection out from among others who would live with Christ. You see. Peter gets up in Acts chapter 2 and he said, David is dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Christ is preeminent in all spheres. And in our sphere, he's the firstborn from the dead, isn't he? From the dead. From the dead members of the church, which is his body, Christ is first. Isn't it amazing? From the dead members of the faithful elect remnant out of Israel, Jew and Gentile believers, Romans chapter 9, Christ is preeminent. He's the first from the dead, isn't he? In that sphere as well. And guess what? In the sphere of Israel, he's the first from the dead as well in that sphere. But the fact, friends, in my humble opinion before us tonight, is that Christ's resurrection, leaving it for the moment for all its fundamental application, his resurrection inspires me. It should inspire you. And here's that verse again, because Paul says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection, which was out from the dead. Yes, Christ was first. Christ's resurrection was earlier. That's why the disciples didn't understand it. Martha said, oh, he'll be resurrected at the last day. Christ wasn't resurrected at the last day. Resurrections for the faithful are at the Feast of Trumpets and its fulfillment. Christ was resurrected at the Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, because they generally go together. He was 5 and 6 months ahead of the general resurrection according to the festive calendar. That's what Paul wanted to know. He wanted to know the power. Now look at in verse 10. You see, You want to know the power of his resurrection, friends? Well, I tell you what, we better be made fellow. We better know the fellowship of his sufferings, because suffer or endurance is all part and parcel of attaining this resurrection. And now I'm going to bring into you the next verse. And here it comes. Paul says, if by any means. Now, I'm going to have to butcher this verse, so don't all jump up and down and say, don't go into the Acts 28 room because they're a cult. Don't go into the Acts 28 because they're hyper-dispensationalists. Ha, 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 we've all had the names thrown at us, right? We endure name-calling, friends, like a duck endures water. We've been called absolutely everything, you know, and there are people running around like policemen notebooks. You know, they all pop into the room and just to make sure who's in there. You know, I mean, Timothy F., God bless you, brother, but, you know, people will know you come to this room and they'll say, oh, you know, don't go into there. You see? Okay, now, I'm going to butcher this verse, and so they're going to say, oh, dear, here he goes. He's going to change the Word of God. The Word of God is going to be changed by that Bible teacher in there. Oh, yeah, right. Well, listen, friends, you know, I'm going to add some little words here. I want you to notice. And here we go. Here we go. And I want to make sure I don't commit to. I want to make sure I don't butcher with typos here. Now, Philippians 3:11. If by any means. Now, if you want to look up if by any means, and I'm really hoping that all my students in this class tonight don't just sit there and say, oh, that's nice, Brian, God bless you, thank you for the lesson. No. Hi, Bob. Get your Bible out. You know, these lessons and our Bible study rooms are not here to enlarge some little hyper-dispensational cult. There's no offering plate. We don't want your money, friends. We don't want you to sign the pledge. There's nothing to sign. We want you to be inspired to study the Word of God. That's what I want in this room. Now, if I'm going to change this verse of Scripture here, you better get your Bible out and your concordances and make sure that, you know, this could be right. And if it could be right, well, get your thinking caps on, friends. Because if Christ had a resurrection from the double dead there, I shouldn't type that in. You know, greetings, Davskill. You know, then there's a resurrection from the dead. It's out from among other faithful ones. It's a prior resurrection in time, but it's also a resurrection that's better in quality. It's better in time, and it's better in quality. So so really now, this is, on my view, is what Paul was striving to attain. This has got nothing to do with the way of salvation, Bob. It's got to do with how we walk as Christians. Thank you. So Paul wanted, if by any means, to attain something. Now, if by any means occurs in the book of Acts, where the sailors set sail, if by any means they could arrive at Phoenicia, and they didn't make it. Let's have a look at verse 12 of Philippians. Not as though I had already attained. Okay? Paul tells us. He didn't know that he had attained the out-resurrection. Either we're already perfect. He said, I'm pressing on. And that's what this is all about. It's about enduring, isn't it? Okay. I press towards the mark for the prize. Ah. There we go. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. We could talk about that about some other time, Timothy, but just not now, brother. Thank you. I appreciate your views. But just for now, I can't deal with that. Okay, Timothy? God bless you. Just hang in there, brother. Now then, we notice that in verse 8 of Philippians 3, that we have win Christ. See that? Win. Okay, win. We're not talking about salvation here. Philippians is not about the blood being shed for redemption. Philippians, you know, it's about the cross being an emblem of endurance. And then, of course, down here, in verse 14, we have a prize. Now, in this context, you see, we have a prize. In this context, The resurrection that Paul wants to attain is a resurrection from the dead. He wants to know the same power of Christ's resurrection, which was a resurrection that was prior in time and to glory and honor. There's a different resurrection. You see, too many people read over this passage and say, oh yes, he just wanted to be resurrected. What a stupid thing to say when Paul's already written 1 Corinthians 15 and said everyone in Christ will be resurrected. How can you be attaining something that is part of God's gift? We're being told in Philippians verse 1, chapter 1 rather, 9 and 10, this is what we've got to do. See, this is what we've got to do, friends. We've got to distinguish between things that are different. You know, and what does mainly the Christian community do? They want to say, oh, it's all the same thing. So here in Philippians, we've got a Bible study principle that says distinguish things that are different. And there's a prize and a winning of Christ and an out-resurrection. Now I'm going to go you to another passage of Scripture, and this is the last one for this evening. And God bless you. Thank you for listening. But this is the last passage of Scripture. And guess what? The resurrection of Christ is going to appear in this passage as well. Okay, now, Paul is writing to Timothy. And by popular consensus, indeed wide consensus, this is the last letter Paul wrote. You don't think he's going to be writing to Timothy and say, okay, Timothy, I want you to believe into Christ so you can become a Christian. Come on, people. You know, Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, when I was among you, the only thing I said was Christ Jesus and him crucified. And you know why? Because they were babies, they couldn't handle the meat of the word. Timothy is not a baby. Paul isn't going to preach the gospel of the Christian who is the one in whom the truth had been entrusted. No. Paul's writing to Timothy and saying, endure hardness as a good soldier. Okay? If anyone competes, 2 Timothy 2 verse 5. If anyone competes, this isn't becoming a Christian. This is how we live as a Christian. We must compete lawfully. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'll just go into the Bible with my, you know, golden tongs and I'll take a verse of Scripture from anywhere. I don't care. It's all about me. No, it isn't. If we don't distinguish things that are different, says Paul to the Philippians, we will be found insincere and offensive. I don't want to be found insincere and offensive. I don't know about you. I want to strive lawfully. And I better distinguish things that differ. And the resurrection that Paul strove for in Philippians 3 is not the general resurrection that everyone has, because Paul could or could not attain it. It was something that he may or may not attain. He said, not that I've already attained. Paul had been a Christian for years. Look at this. It is right for the laboring farmer. Bob Shar, we have to walk worthy of our calling, Bob. That's what this is about. We have to walk, Bob. And there's something through our efforts that can be attained. Absolutely correct. But it isn't salvation, it's the reward of it. It's right for the labouring farmer to partake first of the fruits. Now, this is not the word aparke, which is translated first fruits. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, Christ is the first fruits from the dead. We aren't going to be the first fruits. Christ is the fulfillment of that Levitical feast. But I tell you what, friends, as a labouring farmer, if we endure and we work, we will first partake of the fruits. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, friends. If you labour, you are going to participate in the fruit before other members of the church, which is his body, because that's what God says. If we labour, if we endure, if we take up that cross, God has told us that we, if we're like this farmer, we will participate, we will partake of the fruit first. Now, it's so like a first fruit, isn't it? Just as our Lord, in other words, he had a resurrection first to glory and honour. And the faithful servants will of the present calling, that is the calling for today, we will have. Not right now, Bob Shaw, please. I can talk about that after. Certainly I will. But it includes the principles of right division. A lot of Christians are doing things which are totally inappropriate for 2008. That's all I can say, Bob. I'll pick it up at the end of this lesson. It's right for the labouring farmer to partake first of the fruit. Now, consider what I say. Says Paul, think about this. Think about this. Okay? Think about this. The Lord will give you understanding. And then he tells Timothy, lo and behold, he says, remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Now, there we go. The very term that the Lord used in Mark 9 and the disciples didn't know what he was talking about. It's a resurrection out from. And when we go back to Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, there are prepositions that are not brought out. In fact, if you want to check it out for me, you look at Philippians chapter 3, verse 11, and the word for resurrection is in there is ex anastasis. It's not the ordinary word for resurrection, and it doesn't occur anywhere else in the Greek manuscripts. What Paul wanted to attain was a unique resurrection used once in Philippians chapter 3. And here in 2 Timothy, when Paul has just told us, and I hope we believe this, that the labouring farmer will be the first to partake of the fruit, there's a resurrection of Christ brought back before Timothy's mind. Now, what is 2 Timothy about? Well, I want to just nick over here to chapter 4. I have fought the good fight, says Timothy. I have kept the body of doctrine. I have kept the body of doctrine. See, it doesn't say, Paul doesn't say, oh, I've kept on believing, oh, good. And there are Christians out there that say, oh, you've got to keep believing or you're going to lose your salvation. Oh, please. There's so much horrendously disrupting and faith-overturning doctrine out there. It's absolutely, absolutely frightening. Paul didn't say he kept on believing. He said, I've kept the doctrine. That's what faith represents. It's a noun, not a verb. Now there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. A crown of righteousness. Oh, I see. I thought because I was made righteous by grace through faith that I would automatically get the crown of righteousness. Oh, no, no. No, friends, hang on a minute. Oh, no, I can't shut the door. We don't get the crown of righteousness because we're a Christian, you know. Oh, what, you know, there are plenty of hymns about all Christians getting crowns. Well, you can forget it, friends, if you haven't finished your course. If you haven't kept the body of truth. If you haven't been, or we haven't been, a labouring farmer. You can forget about being a first partaker, friends, and I don't care how long we've been a Christian. If we haven't put our faith into practice, if we haven't rightly divided the word of truth, and walk worthy of our calling. Do you know what your calling is tonight, friends? Oh, I'm in Jesus and I'm okay. You know, friends, Abraham's in Jesus. The 12 disciples, apostles, they're in Christ, but they're going to sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's their calling. Do we know ours? And if we don't know what our calling is, let me tell you now, friends, there's squiddly squat chance of us walking worthily of it. And I tell you something, friends, and I'm going to tell you now, I've been a church attender for many, many years and I gave it up. You know why? Because predominantly 99% of the denominational system out there does not have a clue. And they're promoting red letter editions of the Bible, telling everybody to go and learn about the Beatitudes, say the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, but we're all going to heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and Christians are starving to death. Lead us not into temptation, and the Bible says God doesn't lead people into temptation. It's lead us not into tribulation. You see, friends, we're rat parrot reciting a prayer which doesn't get past the ceiling because it got nothing to do with us. And we say, oh, I know what my calling is. No, we don't. We've got to get out, get home. We've got to get our Bibles open, and we better start studying, friends. Oh, wait a minute. Don't tell me that, see, Timothy is about a crown. Davska, the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together, has got nothing to do with going to church, Davska, and that's exactly what I'm talking about. Paul says to the Hebrews, do not forsake the hope. It's got nothing to do with going to church, Davska. 2 Timothy 2. Be diligent to show yourself approved unto God. Especially when the book Paul goes on in Hebrews, the body is meeting bodily right here, Davskal. I meet bodily around the breakfast table with the Bible open. But we go hanging off to some church somewhere where they teach us about, you know, things that don't apply to us. Well, I'm afraid, friends, it's time for us to stand up and say, enough is enough. And enough is enough. Look at the abuse in the Christian community. I tell you what, Davskal, what I hear that's going on in Christian churches today, people are being ripped for their money. It's absolutely, I tell you what, it's frightening. Anyway, don't get me sidetracked onto that. I can worship God, my friend, in my home with my family. And I can teach the truth. And there's no confusion and conflicting doctrines from, you know, regrettably, the majority of theologically trained people out there that don't know what the purpose of God is. They wouldn't have a clue what the mystery of Ephesians 3 is. They don't know what Ephesians is about. It's frightening. It's sad. Anyway, tonight, what we're talking about, let me tell you, we're talking about an out-resurrection from the dead. And in Philippians, there was a Bible study rule, distinguish things that are different. Because there was a winning of Christ and a prize in view. Here in 2 Timothy, there's a first partaker of the fruit and a crown in view. I don't get the crown because I'm a Christian, friends. I get a crown if I finish. I get a crown if I keep the doctrine. And I tell you what, friends, 90% of Christians don't know what the doctrine is for today. They don't know what the mystery of Ephesians 3 is. They don't know how to... Look, I have been told by Paul that I must guard the unity of the Spirit. And that doesn't mean that all Christians should get together and that all Christians should break down denominational barriers. The unity of the Spirit has to do with the creation of the one new man, Jew and Gentile now dispensationally equal, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the one Lord, one faith, one baptism. I'm not going to a church that sprinkles people with water, I'll tell you that now. Because they don't have a clue. And if they're doing those things, how can they possibly be walking worthily of the calling that God has given us today? This is why the Bible study principles are so important. This is why the Bible study principles are so important. Because the Bible study principles... the Bible study principles are associated with reward. I'm going to type this in. The Bible study principles are associated with the reward. Look at the honor. I'm going back to 2 Timothy now. And I'm going to finish here. Just as Christ was transfigured before the disciples in Mark 9, he received a resurrection that was from the dead. Paul strived and desired strongly to receive or attain a resurrection from the dead. Now, Christ was raised from the dead with glory and honor. Paul wanted that resurrection for the believer, which is from the dead and associated with glory and honor. Now, let's look at the glory and honor. First of all, the soldier wants to please him. So all I want you to do is look at please. Please him. Now then, the laboring farmer is to partake of the fruits before others. There is an option, an opportunity for... Whoops-a-daisy, I bumped the microphone. Sorry about that. Thank you, everybody. The labouring farmer is a first partaker of the fruit. Now then, I want you to look at this verse. Okay, Christ was raised from the dead gloriously. And what was Paul enduring in 2 Timothy 4? He was not enduring so that the Christians would be saved. He was enduring that they may also obtain salvation with eternal glory. And in these two contexts, salvation with eternal glory includes a resurrection like Christ's. In this context, salvation with eternal glory includes a resurrection like Christ's before others to glory. Do you see? Now, if we died with him, oh, we'll live with him, all right. Okay. Oh, we'll live with him. If we endure, we shall reign. Do you see? Salvation within glory includes a reign. Now I'm going to sum up for you. Sum up. In Philippians 3, win, prize, endure, out resurrection from the dead. 2 Timothy, crown, first partaker, I'm typing and trying to read at the same time, of the fruits. Now I tell you what, if you ever read 2 Timothy 2, friends, from this day forward, and I haven't helped you in anything, try and see the word first fruit in the farmer. And remember, Christ's resurrection was a first fruit. Now, they are different words in the original, but I tell you what, those two words, first fruit, should jump off the page. Jump off the page. And I am not saying that there are some members of the body who are going to be first partakers of the fruit. God is, because that's what it says. Right there, can't alter it, and I don't care whether it's in the King James, the modern King James, I don't care what it is. God says something, then you and I should be hungry for it. We shall be hungry to know what it is. Let's not treat the word of God that we've got through the Apostle Paul lightly. Let's not be like those who were going to be ashamed. Now then, that's the context of Philippians 3 and 2 Timothy. Now this is a familiar lesson, but I'm here tonight to encourage you, my dear friends. Let's keep going. Let's open our Bibles. Let's find out what our calling is. Let's walk worthy of my calling today in 2008. And let me and you stand together in that day with a better resurrection. Because you know that's in Hebrews 11:35, don't you? A better resurrection. Let you and me, I don't care what the world's doing to us. I don't care if we're hungry. Friends, I'll help you. I'll send a can of beans. I don't care. If you don't have a lot of friends because of your funny dispensationalist stuff, let's keep going. We're not serving a God who doesn't see and doesn't know and doesn't understand. He's put in front of us some diamonds. And we're going to work to get those diamonds. Because ultimately, in that day, we'll be able to say to our Lord, you enabled me to bring honour to you. And that's what I want you and me to do tonight. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Father, indeed, for the word rightly divided. We want to know about this resurrection that Paul strived to attain, if by any means. And we're going to use any means to get it as well. And so we ask that you'll help us to love each other. And we pray, Father, you'll help us to be meek and to be patient. And we bless you, Father, for the friendship and the fellowship that we have in our rooms. And we thank you for sending friends along. And tonight, Father, I'm just going to bless Bible Mystery Girl. I've seen her before. Thank you for her visit. God bless her, Father. Please give her further knowledge. For Sweet DC, these are in order from the bottom of my from one of my room list. For Bob Shah, thank you for him. for Dad Scarf 1, from Carolyn 61, for Julie 142, bless our dear sister, God bless her. For Timothy, thank you, Timothy. God bless you for coming in. For Tennessee Boy, nothing wrong with Tennessee. I married a girl from Tennessee, so there you go. Thank you for Tennessee Boy. His Path, thank you for Elaine and Kenneth. For Reuben, thank you so much for him. Thank you so much for Range Pro. Thank you so much for dear Mike tonight. We bless you, Father, from the bottom of our hearts for all that we have in Christ and for all that we can attain. To you be the praise and glory for all things. Amen. Well, I just want to thank you all for listening. You've been a great class. Thank you, Timothy, for holding your questions, brother. I really appreciate that. Thank you, Bob Shah, and thank you, Davskar. I really bless you, and thank you for your patience. It was excellent. I don't know about them Tennessee Boy. You'd probably have to give me... you probably have to give me a link, maybe, of Tennessee Boy. Maybe John knows about them, but I'm going to leave the mic free right now. Bob, we've been told, Rabbi Shmabai, just one moment, please. Yes, he left. 1 minute. I'm going to ban him. Go ahead, John.
Brian, absolutely fantastic. I hope you recorded that one too. A couple comments I want to let's see. Tennessee Boy. Tennessee Boy, I'm very familiar with.